This is the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
Is it a virus?
We don't know.
How does it spread? Is it airborne?
Airborne is a possibility. We don't know.
Is this an international health hazard or a military concern?
Both.
Are these people alive or dead?
Hold us down!
We don't know.
You need someone to show you the ropes, hon. You just come to me.
Today, we will be continuing our interview with T and Veronica Benton. T and Veronica are no strangers to the devastation that pornography can cause in a marriage. In last week's podcast, they shared a little of the story about T's past struggle with pornography and Veronica's struggle with her self-image as a result. They also spoke a little about how they overcame these obstacles to have a healthier marriage. T and Veronica are the founding members of The White Collar Sideshow, a musical group dedicated to talking about the devastation that pornography can cause and how people can break free from it. In today's podcast, we continue our interview with them and talk a little about their band and their message. This is part two of their interview with us here on the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
Hey, let me ask you, let's switch gears a little bit. You're now sharing your story. You're on the road now. You're sharing your story. Where are you, by the way?
I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania at the moment.
Allentown, okay. And you're on the road, you've been traveling around, and you've been traveling with a performance called The White Collar Sideshow. And so
yeah.
I gotta, you know, this people who've probably been to your site, they might be even going there right now as they listen to this, whitecollarsideshow.com, and they're gonna see some things that may look a little strange. And so I want to give them the backstory on this thing, because I think this is a pretty unique way of going about telling the story of your addiction and then also the story of your recovery. I wrote in a blog post about you guys, about the White Collar Sideshow. It's a mixed bag of sights and sounds, go-go dancers, Jekyll and Hyde, gas masks, tattoos, Frankenstein, kind of like Blue Man Group meets Rob Zombie meets a 1930s illusionist act. And everything seen and heard from the stage has a meaning. Let's just in your own words here, what in the world gave you the idea for this? And then talk a little bit about the show and what the show is like.
Sure. Well, I at the time I was dealing with pornography addiction. I've only been a Christian for, I guess 9 years, since 2000. A lot of people say, you're a Y2K Christian. And I said, yeah, I guess so, because that's when I became a Christian, was the year 2000. Mm. And after about a year of Christianity, I actually started performing with a Christian rock band. And I performed with them for 5 years. But during those 5 years, you know, my drug addictions were not there anymore. But that's when I realized that I had a pornography addiction. And here's the thing. Traveling around with a Christian rock band, so many kids put you up on a pedestal that you can do no wrong. So if you are dealing with an addiction, you can't tell anybody, because Christians sometimes are the first ones to hang you by the cross.
Yeah.
And so here I was playing in this Christian rock band, traveling around the country, touring in different countries, and I was struggling with a pornography addiction and didn't know who to talk to about it, didn't know how to get it out. Because you know, if you tell somebody that, hey, I'm dealing with a pornography addiction, it's most of the time you'll get, well, I'll pray for you, man. And that's about it. Mm. And so that's how I kind of felt, trapped in this little dungeon of doing what God wanted me to do and then going home and doing what I wanted to do. And that's where this whole kind of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde theme for the White Collar Sideshow came about. After Veronica and I, you know, started accountability, I started having these crazy dreams. And I would get up, it would almost be about the same time, 10 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning. It's funny how God uses those time zones of your addictions to do something for him. And I never realized that. If somebody had ever told me that God talks to me, I'd be like, yeah, right. But I truly believe it now, because there's no way I could have put this together without God being involved. And so I would wake up in the middle of the night, and I would start writing these dreams down. And they were storyboards for the videos, things in my life that I'd been through as far as dealing with my addictions and real-life stories. And then I was I would write and I would write and I would go, God, what are you doing in my life? Every night, Veronica would say, man, you've got to get some sleep. You've got to get some sleep. About 3.5 sleepless years, I had this notebook full of characters, the storyboards, the music, and everything that has to do with White Collar Sideshow. And I tell my wife, I'm like, Veronica, I've got this whole dream written down. It's unbelievable. It's only a God thing. And I'd love to for you to be a part of this. Veronica managed a multi-million-dollar business. And she's like, I'm not giving you any money for this crazy thing. I mean, not that she didn't believe in it, but because she was, you know, we were struggling with this addiction as a marriage. And you know, it was something that she's like, she was still upset about pornography and addiction and things like that. And I totally understand that. And so I kept writing. I started piecing things together. And I started coming up with this theme of who are we really on the outside and who do we become behind closed doors when nobody's looking? Kind of like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And being the young Christian I am and traveling around and seeing so many different denominations and different Christians, man, you see that so often. How many people wear masks all the time, but their lives are in shambles when they go home? They can't do what God wants them to do because they can't even walk out of their bedroom without dealing with some kind of addiction. And so I wanted to kind of, you know, I wanted to do something that was real, that was true, that was brutally honest and not sugarcoating the way we do in a lot of Christian themes today. And so White Collar Sideshow was kind of born out of that pornography addiction. I always say that you never know what's going to rise out of the ashes out of somebody's mistake. It's a ministry if you really focus on it and put your mind to it. And, yes, there's a lot of different characters. I myself perform as a ringleader or ringmaster, and not that I ever intended it to be that way, but when God calls you to do something, I wanted to give 150%. And if he was going to be involved in this, I wanted to become whatever he wanted me to be to make it as real as possible, to sure. live exactly how he wanted us to, and not be two different characters. If I'm T in the sideshow, that's what I need to be all the time. I need to be brutally honest all the time and not go back and take makeup off or whatever it takes to become somebody else again.
Right. Hey, let me just sort of summarize here for our listeners what this show is really all about. Well, from what I've seen of the show, I understand for the most part there's an on-stage presence with you, Veronica, and Philip. And is Tristan on stage with you as well, your son?
He performs with us a lot of our local performances, and then he travels with us when he's not in school, summertime, okay. and things like that.
Okay, so you have you guys on the stage, and for the most part, it's a percussion and bass show that you're playing, right, from the stage?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of like a Blue Man Group meets Rob Zombie in some strange sort of way.
Okay, yeah. So you have it's on stage presence, but really what's going on stage is more or less providing sort of the musical backdrop for what's going on the screen and these highly symbolic sensory sort of videos that you're playing to the audience. And you made these videos yourself.
Well, I wrote and directed the videos, and they were based on the dreams out of my mind dealing with the different addictions I've been going through, you know, real life situations that husband and wives go through, that kids go through when they're home alone and making sure mom and dad aren't in there, you know, looking behind them while they're on the computer.
Sure.
Different situations that I felt people would find that pornography was kind of involved in their life.
Sure.
And so the videos tell the stories to each of the songs.
Oh, okay.
And each character that's on the stage is symbolic in its own way as well. My wife performs as the faceless woman, where she plays in a big go-go cage and she wears a mask that looks like a China doll. And her character is called the faceless woman because that's the way I used to look at women. It's all the characters are stemmed from my personality, dealing with different things in my life. And her character is exactly what she needs to be, how I used to look at women.
Faceless in the sense that they're just a body, not an actual person.
That's right. You know, not respecting women, not having a conversation with their eyes or their heart, but just noticing them for their assets and things like that, you know, visually. And a lot of guys are like that in today's world.
Right. Kind of dehumanization of women that just sort of, they become the summary of their body parts. They're rated on the size, shape, and everything of right. Okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. That's exactly right.
Okay.
And then Philip plays a character called the Mask, and he switches between a gas mask and a pig mask. The pig mask being the creepy character of the whole show, although creepy, has a great symbolic message. He stems from my addiction of hidden addiction, and it doesn't mean men are pigs. Sometimes people get that confused when they hear our message, and that it does not mean men are pigs whatsoever. Okay. It means that sometimes when we deal with things that are hidden in our hearts, we become the swine, the dirtiness, and that seems to show on the outside. I always tell a lot of kids or a lot of adults, do you remember friends that you had in school? After they got hooked on drugs, they were a totally different person. That character starts to come. It starts in your heart, and it starts to build to your outside, and you become that slop, that swine, that character. And Philip is a – man, he's a good portrayal of that character. And, man, it means so much. And I love it when he performs. He does scare a lot of the kids. He does, you know, stare at them, and he is a creepy character. But that's what I want them to know, because when I get up and explain the characters after the performance, then they see exactly what I'm trying to do with his character. And it is scary, and it does make sense when you talk about hiding things in your heart and then you becoming a person that you were not before.
And what about the gas mask?
The gas mask is a sweet representation of who you are behind closed doors. When nobody's looking, how are you know, do we really believe God's watching us? Do we really believe God's there if we can't even stop clicking on things that, you know, that haunt our hearts? And I think that the gas mask, for me, is a great representation of the warfare you have between your mind and your heart, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It's a constant battle. Every time you get on the computer, when you log into your MySpace page or your Facebook or any online community now, the first thing you see is adult advertising. So if nobody's really holding you accountable, what's going to stop you from clicking on those things? And that gas mask kind of represents that battle that you have in your mind at that moment. You know, am I going to recognize this temptation, or am I going to go through with it? God, please, I'm praying, but I still do it anyway.
When T came to you with these ideas about the show, what was your initial reaction to this? And then how did you get involved, and how are you involved right now with it?
Honestly, I thought he was crazy. Because it was so weird. All of the dreams that he had been having, he had been writing all these things down in this composition book, and he's trying to tell me, you know, everything about it, and, well, we have to have this. And in my mind, I'm the business side of our relationship anyway. I manage all of our money. And so in my mind, I kept saying dollar signs and dollar signs and dollar signs. And I was like, what in the world are you talking about? And I wouldn't fork over any money, but he and Philip started just messing around on the drums at our house. He used to teach drum lessons, so we've always had two drum sets set up anyway. And so they just messed around, so it really didn't bother me as long as I wasn't having to crank out any money. And we had a missionary come and talk at our church on July 16th, 2006. And he was actually out of town. He was in Minnesota at the time. And the missionary was talking about, what are you really living for? What are you passionate about? And what is your life story? And I had a huge revelation that day. I was actually leading worship at our church that day. And first service, I'm sitting there, and I felt like he was talking only to me. And I realized if I died that day and I went to heaven, Jesus would be like, okay, what'd you do for me? What do you have? What was your life all about? All it would have been about was a big bank account and my 4-bedroom house and a 1966 Austin Healey. I mean, really. I mean, I was volunteering, but I wasn't living my life 100% for God. And so really, God didn't say jump that day. He yelled, jump. And I had no idea what I was jumping into, but I called T in between services. And I said, babe, whatever this is you've been writing down, I just got confirmation from God. We're doing it. We're selling everything we own. We're doing this, whatever it is. I'll manage it.
Selling everything you own.
Yes, yes. Okay. God said it that day. That day, July 16th, 2006. He said it. And
this everything, is this like, you mean house, car, the whole bit?
House, cars, everything. And I've never been like that. He used to be in another band that they were talking about touring. And I was like, well, you know, you got to make the bills because, you know, I managed a multi-million dollar company. I went to college. I've got a degree in marketing. I brought this company. I mean, they're doing very, very well. And so my life was the American dream. Minus the 2.5 kids, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at 27 years old, I could have had anything I wanted. I did have just about anything I wanted. We had plans for motorcycles and a Mini Cooper and cruises and everything. I mean, that was the next logical step. Well, he thought I was nuts when I told him this over the phone. And so I went back to...
He thought you were nuts.
He's like, well, this lady's crazy. I've been asking for this, and now she's actually giving it to me. You know, she's on drugs. So I go back, and I sing second service, and I hear the message again, and it's just further confirmation that, yes, this is what I need to be doing. And so it was July. What am I thinking? He had a delay. So he was home 2 days later. And by the time he got home, I had a business plan. I had the budget because I knew all of our finances. And so I knew how much money, I mean, I was ready to pour my entire life savings into this. And so I had it all planned out. Well, we can get to this point at this day and whatever. He was blown away. He's like, this is what I've been needing. This is what I've been needing. And by the time he was home, we were already an LLC, a limited liability corporation. I had all the tax, everything ready to go. And so he's just blown away, like, oh, my gosh, she's serious. So starting that day, we are working toward the point to where we are right now. We had to, you know, film all the videos and do all the recording. And I was simply just going to be the business side of it. And about a year and a half ago, he said, I had a dream about a chick bass player. And I was like, oh, cool, I can't wait to meet her. You know, that's going to be awesome. And he said, no, I'm pretty sure it's you. I was like, what? I don't play bass. Are you kidding me? I sing,
well,
but I don't. I've never played an instrument.
This. Oh, really?
No, I've never played an instrument. Never. I mean, I would like to learn. I had a couple guitars, but I've never, nothing. And so he's like, no, I'm pretty sure it was you. And I've learned not to doubt his dreams. I look like an idiot when I doubt his dreams. Because it always comes back to bite me. Because, I mean, if it's really a serious dream, who will follow through with it and he won't care? And then I always look like I look dumb. And so I don't doubt him anymore. But I've also told him he can't be a false prophet and start telling me he had dreams about stuff just to get his way.
Right.
And so a year ago, I got a base on, or a year and a half ago or so, I got a base online. And I had somebody kind of show me some base parts. And we've just kind of evolved from there. Our first show was March 14th last year. I actually quit my job in May of last year. My boss cried, and everybody thought we were absolutely crazy. And then we closed on the sale of our house on March 10th. So we've officially, every single thing we own, we've sold it, aside from what's in the RV and trailer.
And so
and I've never been
happier. You're living in this trailer, traveling around.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Traveling around the country.
T before has told me a little bit about what the trailer looks like, and I hear it's quite a sight going down the road.
It's definitely, people are always having their, we almost cause a lot of wrecks, actually. People will have their cell phone cameras out trying to take pictures, and then our portrait is on the back with myself as the faceless woman and Philip as the pig, and then T is the ringleader, and then there's a little row of gas masks of just people with gas masks on, and they always want to slow down when they get to the driver's seat to see who in the world is driving this. And so a lot of times, you know, T's mustache is always curled up, and a lot of times he has his top hat on. So they actually get a bit of a show anyway, just driving by. But we went ahead and put our, our website on the side of the RV because so many people stare at us. So
sure.
It's fun. Yeah.
And what is it like?
I mean,
what is it like for you as the faceless woman? I mean, do you get to have a lot of conversations maybe with women during these shows, kind of talking about your, or even men talking about your character?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned earlier, every single time we have a show, we end up talking and praying with people. And it's just further confirmation for us, really, that we are doing exactly what we need to be doing. But I'll have women come up to me and say, how did you get past the point of feeling like it's your fault? And it's tough. I mean, it really is tough. But, I mean, that was like a huge step in T's recovery and our recovery as a couple, with me finally realizing, no, this is not my fault. If I can get myself out of this equation, that's just one less thing in our way to be moving towards the freedom that we both want to have in our life, especially with him and his addiction.
Yeah.
Now, I'd be ridiculous to say that he's never going to fall again. I mean, I didn't marry Jesus. It's not going to be a quartet when he heads into heaven. That's what Talprin's always says. But, you know, I know that my husband's always going to be an addict, but we're always going to be in the fight. And as long as we have openness and honesty in our relationship, that's going to help. Now, as far as if I get to tell my story, I end up talking to so many women that are dealing with body issues, even if they don't have anybody in their life that's struggling with pornography, just with us as women in general, it's just something that we deal with. It's just kind of like our curse. And I just encourage them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's taken me a long time to learn. And it's so hard to embrace that you're never going to be able to love someone else until you can love yourself. And so I just encourage women of that. Wow. And I remind everyone, all my ladies, that we are princesses because our father's the king. And that, you know, we don't need to be living for other people's approval, because God made us exactly the way that we are.
Great.
So it's like I said, it's even more rewarding for me just to talk to other people that have gone through what I've gone through. And that's part of the healing process for me as well. I mean, it's rather than just praying with somebody else, I mean, I'm continually praying that same prayer for myself.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation. I would like to let some people know a few last things. First of all, your website is whitecollarsideshow.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it takes you straight to our MySpace. So
okay.
Yes.
Great.
If you type whitecollarsideshow.com in, yes, it'll take you there.
Okay. And just as a side note, why is it called White Collar Sideshow?
That's a good question. When I first started this thing, I had the dream of calling it Ex-Porno Junkie, and I don't know why. It was going to be some kind of merchandise, you know, like a triple X church type thing, just creating awareness. And as I kept writing the dreams down more and more, that's when they became more detailed as far as music and merchandise and all these weird things. And it was like, oh, wow, there's more to this than what I was just initially thinking. And I was a big fan of the band Embodiment whenever they were around, and the greatest band nobody's ever heard of. And and they, one of their lyrics in one of their songs was a real soft song, and one of the lyrics was White Collar Sideshow, and I wrote that down. I was working at the time, and I was listening to it, wrote it down on a piece of paper, and it was like a light bulb went off. You know, I mean, you could have so many different meanings. A lot of people say it as, you know, especially when we perform, they see how we look, and it's like, man, there is nothing white collar about you guys at all. And I said, well, you know, it's not just about that. It's about, you know, a lot of people think that these addictions are for people that look like the way we are, but everybody struggles with hidden addictions, and pornography being that, or anything, you know. I was riding around with this guy that had road rage the other day. Oh, wait, that was me. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we all have to work on all the time. And I think that you can't really put it into some kind of category. I mean, white collar to me means everybody. It means everything. And sideshow for me is another word for sin. And so I thought, you know what, Sideshow is a great way to put what you're dealing with. Instead of saying, hey, you got all these sins, I always tell people, man, we all have different sideshows that haunt who we are. And it's how these sideshows affect us that determine the very core of our own souls. And that's what I say. Sideshow is like another word for sin. And you can take that for any kind of meaning. There's a lot of people that say, hey, I know what the name means. I know what the name means. And everybody gets something different from it. And I love that because it's a new meaning for me as well.
Okay. So that's great. No, that's perfect. So you've got your website, whitecollarsideshow.com. And if they want to book you guys for their church or for their event or whatever, first of all, obviously you guys have got a really unique look to you. You know, is there a specific age group or target group that you guys typically play for that you think you would say we're really appropriate for this kind of audience?
Yeah, I used to think that until recently. We a lot of people book us for their youth groups and that sort of thing, and that's perfect. You know, I love hanging out with kids and building relationships. But here recently, we've actually been doing full churches, not just youth groups, but the whole churches general. Because, you know, for one, I am 34 years old, and I speak for, I believe, my generation. You know, there's a lot of parents out there that are struggling with pornography, and they think it's a youth thing, and it's not. It's something that everybody deals with, and not just pornography, but hidden things as well. And a lot of parents, I think it attracts a lot of parents because the kids will come home and say, Mom, Dad, we saw this performance tonight, and they talked about pornography. What is that? And then the parents are instantly put on the spot because they're dealing with it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so I would say any age group. We had a young lady that was 70-something years old the other day become a Christian at one of our performances.
Wow.
And so I could not believe it. And it means that we are on the exact track that we need to be on. As long as we stay focused on God, you know, you never know who you're going to touch. And the most important thing, I think, about what we do is building relationships with people and encouraging them to do something else in their life other than focus on their addiction.
Sure.
And I love that, man. I mean, to me, our message is first and foremost compared to the performance. It's just a tool that God uses to bring us closer to other people and challenge them.
Great. And
so
I'd
say
that's
all
awesome.
Of our booking information is on our website.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And so
Veronica does our tour managing,
oh.
And then we just signed with a booking agent, and then Arthur Green is our manager. And I want to say something for the podcast. There's a company, I mean, I know you guys support us, and I can't appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate it so much, you don't even know, because so many people have been very negative to what we do. And I welcome that, because it certainly means we're on the right track. If it makes somebody uncomfortable, I love that. Because that means that, you know what, I was uncomfortable when I dealt with it too. Risen Drums is the company that makes our drums, and that's a company, a Christian drum company out of Minnesota. They totally believe in us as well. They support what we do, and Keith Anderson is a guy that, my gosh, I couldn't do any of this stuff without him even believing in what we do as well. And I just appreciate them too being a part of what we do. You guys and Risen Drums have been a big sponsor of what we are, and man, it helps us keep our focus and makes us want to go out and do more.
Yeah. Well, I hope we can continue to encourage you here at Covenant Eyes, because it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. Obviously, it takes a lot of resources to do the kind of thing you guys are doing. And so we give you, we want to give you as much support here as we can. And we also want to just spread the word about what you guys are doing, because we think it's a really noble pursuit. I also think that you guys are a real picture of that verse in 1 Corinthians, that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I think that because there are things that God will call us to that are guaranteed to not work unless He is involved in them. There are things that we simply will fail at if He is not central in those activities.
Right.
And I think that you guys are living on the ragged edge of that reality. And so I want to just applaud you for that and say thank you for all you guys are doing. And
thank you so much, Luke. That's a bold statement, too. We travel with so many bands that, you know, at the end of the performance, it's, oh, by the way, we're doing this for God. And when it should be first and foremost. And I believe that's another underlying message for what we do, is challenging bands that we travel with to stay focused. Stay focused on God first and let Him use you as a tool. And so thank you for saying that, man. That means a lot to me.
Oh, well, it was really good talking to you, T, and talking to Veronica. And this is T and Veronica from White Collar Sideshow. I want to thank you guys for talking with me today, and look forward to being out at one of your shows.
You've been listening to our interview with T and Veronica Benton of the White Collar Sideshow. You can find out more about them and their touring schedule on their website, whitecollarsideshow.com.